John chapter 2, would you look at this with me, please? I want you to see something about Jesus. Oh, yeah, thank you. Remember, he said himself, the words that I speak unto you are not my own. It's the Father that dwelleth within me. He does the works. Another place he said, the Son can do nothing of himself. I hear and then I judge. Now, another way of saying that, I hear and then I speak. So you could summarize it like this. I only say, you remember the scripture said that Jesus spoke the words of God, therefore God gave him his spirit without measure. It wasn't because he was the sinless Son of God. Thank God he was. But that's not the reason. It's because he spoke only the word of God. Yeah. Nothing else. He never added one thing to it in the entire time he was on this earth. Not once. Now, this is, you're going to see something here in him. And the third day there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee. And the mother of Jesus was there. Now that's a major statement right there. And the mother of Jesus was there. And both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. When they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus saith unto him, they have no wine. Now, I want you to notice, they didn't come to Jesus. They came to his mother. They didn't come to Jesus with this. They came to her. Now remember, he said, I only say what I hear my Father say, and I only do what I see my Father do. Jesus said unto her, woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. His mother saith to the servants, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. Up until then, it's obvious from what he said to his mother, he hadn't heard anything about wine or at this party. They came to her with that. But once she spoke and said, whatever he says to you, you do it. Her faith moved the Father, and the Father then told him what to do. Amen. I'm telling you, Jesus is the easiest fellow you have ever met to receive from. Amen. Faith moves him. See, her faith moved the Father. She was interested in this. She's the one that was invited to the wedding. They were her friends. She knew them, and they knew her. And they came to her when they had no wine. And she's going to see to it that they got some wine. Amen. So she goes to him with it. And he said, I didn't have anything to do with this. What? She just been paying attention to him. She just literally turned to the Father. And she spoke her faith. This is a woman of faith, I'm telling you. Now,
amen.
She said, whatever he says to you, do it. And the Father says, you better take care of this boy. Your mama needs something here, you understand? Oh, glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. If we say, what he says, then he will do what we say. I'm going to say it again. If we say what he says, then he will do what we say. And I'll give you another scripture. Turn over there to the book of Hebrews. Some people still struggle with that. I just don't understand why I have to say it. Well, I mean, I'm nobody. Quit saying that. You are somebody. You know Jesus. You're a child of the living God. You're somebody. Amen. God doesn't love you because you're special, but because he loves you, you're special. You're special somebody. Amen. Think about it. All the billions of people on the planet, and there's not one more that's exactly like you. I don't care if you're supposed to be an exact twin. No. Check your fingerprints and see if they're the same. Amen. And God knows you, and he'll hear you, and he'll hear you just as quick as he will anybody else, because faith turns him on. Well, let me back up a minute. He's always on. But faith excites him, pleases him. Hallelujah. Hebrews 3, wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle. Now, let's translate that. Consider the one whom God sent and high priest of our profession. Same word translated, confession. Christ, let's translate that, the anointed Jesus. Now let's read it like this. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling. Jesus has a heavenly calling. Called of God, 10th verse, 5th chapter, called of God, an high priest after the order of Melchizedek. Hallelujah. He is our Melchizedek. He is the Lord over our abundance and our prosperity. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Now, it is his job to bless. Melchizedek met Abram, later called Abraham. Amen. The father of our faith. And blessed him. He met him with the covenant elements and he blessed him. And he received his tithe. Now that's Jesus calling and anointing. Look at it like this. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling of Jesus as high priest, after the order of Melchizedek, consider the one God sent and anointed to be high priest of our profession, Jesus. That's what he's anointed to do. He is anointed to watch over his word in our mouths and see to it that it comes to pass. Hallelujah. If we say, say it, if I say what he says, then he'll do what I say. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory, 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 glory. You're walking around with a miracle in your mouth. You're walking around with the glory of God in your bosom. You're walking around with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And when you stand up and say, I am free by the power of the Most High God, Jesus said, that's right. Yes, that's right. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. And I'll never be bound up as long as I live. Glory to God. I'll never be broke another day in my life. And Jesus said, that's right. Amen. That's right.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Then all you have to do is what his mama said. Whatever he says to you, do it. Amen. It can't be that simple. It's trying to keep it from being that simple that messes it up. You get too analytical. And, well, you got to just analyze every little thought and just get all this just exactly right. You ain't never going to get it all exactly right. So get over that.
Amen.
Amen. Just do what he says. Well, how will I know, Brother Copeland? Ask him. Yeah, he speaks, you know. Yeah. Any language you want to speak in, he speaks. And he can talk to you in some language you ain't never heard of before. And you can talk to him in a language you ain't never heard of before. Folks, it is time for the people of God to finally dare act like the Bible is true and just do it in the name of Jesus. I remember I was just a little old boy, and I got acquainted with the diving board at the swimming pool. And I thought that was just some kind of great. That was just wonderful. I don't know so much about that high board, but this little short one, I like that really well. And did I enjoy swimming. I mean, that just one of my great pastimes. And I really enjoyed it. My dad was a good swimmer. And anyway, I went up on top of that high board. And I came back down. And I went up there again. And I came back down. And so, but right, there was something about it. I just couldn't back off from it. I kept going up there, and I'd back off and turn around and look around. And finally, I said, and just took off and just ran off of the end of the board. Just run hard enough you couldn't stop if you tried. I forgot about the low board. That little thing? No. All the fun was on that high board. Amen. Oh, Lord. And that's the way this life is.
Oh, my.
You finally stand up and say, I'll tell you, by the Almighty God, I'm doing this.
Yes.
I'm going to do what He's called me to do.
Yes, yes.
And I'm going to do it, and I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it right, and I'm going to do it because it's right. I'm going to do this thing. I'm going to go in the ministry full time, just like He's been telling me to do all this time. And the rest of you can do whatever you want to do, but I got to preach. Bye. Amen. Whatever He tells you to do, do it. Amen. This is the truth that dreams are made out of. Because once you launch out into whatever it is that He's told you to do, free at last. Glory to God, free at last. Amen.
Amen.
Scott, you remember what it was like? Oh, I do too. Praise God. I mean, I was in a horrible, terrible place spiritually when I met Gloria. And thank God for this woman that God used to put me in a place and in a position to accept Jesus as Lord. And that spirit of anger and depression. Let me tell you something about the devil. Jesus taught this. He said, the spirit gets cast out, will come back. Now that's just His plan. It's His plan to come. He's planning to come back. And He, once you get born again, He can't read your mind. And He sure can't read your spirit. Well, how does He know so much about you? Well, for one thing, He watches you. And another thing, you shoot your mouth off. You speak your feelings, He knows exactly what you're thinking. Because He's the one that put that thought in there, and you fall for it and cooperate with Him. Now he's got His needle in there, and he starts working it again. And you fall for the same stupid stuff you fell for before. And I was standing in this little place Gloria and I lived, little house we'd rented. And that anger came back on me. And I was shouting at her. Now, I wasn't using profanity. I'm telling you, I did my best to be like my grandfather. And he was like his father. And they called his father, my great-grandfather, they called him Cussin' Owens. I think different ones in our family were actually authored some cuss words. And I tried to keep up the tradition. But the night I got born again, it felt like for hours, it felt like that God had inserted something, and it felt like it was square. It felt like I had a block in my mouth. And profanity was gone. Thank God it's been gone ever since. Hallelujah. So God will free you from that. But that anger. And I was screaming and hollering at her, and just right up in her face. She never said a word. And I'm hearing my words come out of my mouth, but I'm no longer hearing what I'm saying. I'm standing there thinking something else. I'm standing there thinking, she doesn't deserve to be talked to like this. Why am I doing this? Well, now see, that right there indicated that this was a spirit of anger and depression that got a hold of me. Now, no, there wasn't any demon living in my spirit. Jesus lives in there. Amen. And the devil can't get in there. But he had a hold of my flesh. He got a hold of my thinking. And I yielded to it. And suddenly I just stopped. I said, oh, Gloria, please forgive me. She didn't say anything. I just walked over and just kind of fell over on the couch. Went into a deep sleep. And I woke up. And when I first woke up and it was daylight, I thought I had slept around the clock, because it was so deep. And then I realized, no, it hadn't been but a few minutes. But when I woke up, that spirit was gone. Isn't that wonderful? I'm laying on my side on that couch, and Gloria is right up in my face. And she was sitting on the floor just praying in tongues, sitting right there in my face. She's never, ever in all of the 54 years we've been married, next week, she has never, ever, ever hollered back or fussed or fought with me. Do you realize how hard it is to have a fuss by yourself? It just don't work. So, and if there's the least bit of tension between us, we just stop right then and just repent of it and hug one another and just, you know, and just do away with that. Amen. I mean, I don't remember the last time we ever had any words with one another. When I opened my eyes, I didn't even raise up. I'm just right there in her face. I said, oh, dear Lord, Gloria, I got to preach. She said, I know it, baby. I know it, she said. Glory to God. Free at last. Free at last.
Thank you, Lord.
Free to do what I was born to do. Now, don't get the idea just because God hasn't called you in as an apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher. Don't get the idea you're not called. You were born for a purpose and a reason in this earth. You have a very distinct calling. Every human being has a divine destiny planned and written down in God's book of destinies. Planned before the foundation of the world. And He created you for that destiny, and He created that destiny for you. And that's the only place you will ever find true joy and depth of happiness in life and prosperity in this life, far beyond money or anything in this natural world. Because you're doing what you were born to do. Hallelujah. You may be just born of God to be in the sales business. Well, my goodness, what greater way to be a witness to Jesus? I Oh, back, oh man, this is back before Gloria and I, back before she and I were married. And I asked her to marry me, and then 6 months later we got married. But this was during those very early days there. And I was still in aviation training and so forth, and working on my ratings at that time, and as a pilot. And my situation changed to where I was some kind of broke. And I had this little job of sorts, but it ended. And I had $135. Now, of course, $135 back there then in the early 60s was a whole lot more than $135 now. But still, it ain't much. And I just didn't know what to do. I was foot because I was working at an airport in a little town there in Colorado, and they had an airport car, and that's what I drove. But then now I got to have a car, and I'm leaving there and going to Little Rock to finish school, and I got $135. Now what am I going to do with $135? I was being led to the Lord. I didn't know it. But when you got a praying mama, things happen. You understand? So I just went down to the General Motors dealer there, the Chevrolet dealer there, and I asked to see the man that owned the company, and I knew who it was because the man that I had been working for was also in the car business, and I'd met this man through him. And I just told him what my situation was. I said, now I don't know what else to do other than just tell you this is all I've got, and I need transportation if you can help me. He said, will you trust me in this? I said, well, yeah, I mean, that's why I'm here. He said, come on. So we went out across the used car lot and around to the shop area, and we walked up on absolutely the ugliest 54 Chevrolet I've ever seen in my life. Now, it, you know, when it came out, it was that back there then, boy, I'm telling you, chartreuse and yellow was big, you know. And that's what the color of this thing had been, kind of a chartreuse green on top. Well, now it was a leper sort of thing. And it was just, oh man. The strip was off of the side on the thing. And the headliner was hanging down in the back seat. Oh, that's an ugly car. And I thought that airport car I was driving looked terrible, but not like this. And so anyway, he said, now you said you'd trust me in this. I said, yes, sir. He said, Kenneth, I traded for this thing, and I no more than closed the deal on it, and the engine blew up on it. And he said, I had to overhaul the engine in this thing. Then he said, I no more than got that done, and the transmission went out on it, and I had to overhaul that. He said, there ain't a way in the world I can ever get my money out of this thing. And I thought, boy, that's right. Look at this thing. And he had put all new tires on it. And I got it for $135. I want you to know, I got in that ugly Chevrolet, and I drove from Camden to Little Rock, and that thing just set up there and just hummed like a sewing machine. Brand new engine, brand new transmission, all four tires. I found out years later that man was president of the local chapter of the Full Gospel Businessmen's Fellowship. The Holy Ghost was leading him all the time. And I thought back on it and I thought, Lord, hallelujah. I'm just glad I didn't cuss in front of him. Messed up my whole deal. There it is. That's old Yeller right there. Hubcap gone on the front. The strip's gone off of it. Hallelujah. That's the best running 54 Chevrolet you ever saw. Amen. It's a little embarrassing, but it run good. Thanks, guys, for backing up my story. Hallelujah. You see, I wasn't lying about it, right? That was an ugly car. Amen. That called man of God was led of the Holy Spirit. One step at a time. It wasn't but a, well, it was about 9 months later, that Gloria and I got born again. Hallelujah. Isn't it good? That man was called to do that. He's an anointed man of God in the sales business. Hallelujah. You are special. You have a life calling. And in that plan is your joy. In that plan is the grace of God. When you're in your place, in that place that God has called, because the word said he has set every member of the body of Christ in their place. That you seek God and find out what it is and let him lead you. Let him lead you. And he'll do it. Hallelujah. All believers get attacked. Nobody's immune from attack. But when you're in the place, you're in the grace. And that's where you have the grace to overcome the wiles of the devil. Is when you're in that place where you're supposed to be. Father, I pray tonight. I pray over this offering tonight. And whatever you say to the people, they will be obedient to it. But Father, my prayer tonight is for the people to have ears to hear and a heart to do whatever you have planned and whatever you command for us to do. We are yours to command. And we know you are the great planner of our lives. And we thank you for it in the name of Jesus. Amen.